Good morning. It is just really good to be with you, to be together. Yes, my name is Nate, and I get the privilege to be on this team here. To our friends who speak Spanish, hola, buenos dias, bienvenidos, que Dios les bendiga. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Has been our practice over the last 8 weeks. This will be our eighth week in the Beatitudes. I am just reminding us every Sunday morning, because apparently we need a reminder every Sunday morning that this is a wildly divided election cycle and election season, right? Wow. So I just also, though, not that we need that reminder, want to remind us that some of you are planning to vote for Donald Trump based off of some principles that you see in Scripture. I want you to know that you are welcome in our church. Some of you are planning to vote for Kamala Harris based off some principles that you see in Scripture. I want you to know that you are welcome in our church. Some of you are not planning to vote for either primary presidential candidate based off of principles that you see in Scripture. I just want you to know that you are welcome in our church. As the people of God, our highest allegiance is to a kingdom that Jesus says is not of this world. Which means, to be clear, the kingdom of America is not the kingdom of God. Yes, the kingdom of God can exist here, but we need to recognize that our ultimate shared citizenship is in a kingdom that is not of this world, with a king that is actually defined and pictured as a slaughtered lamb. This is the image that we have been seeking to allow us, to form us all year long, casting our eyes on that king. We've been in this year-long series that we've called The Way of the Lamb. And within this series, we've been looking at the character of Jesus and the tone of Jesus. We've been looking at, currently, the teachings of Jesus and one of his most famous teachings that we call the Beatitudes. There's eight of them, which I don't know if I've said there's nine of them in weeks past. There are actually eight, and today we are actually at our last Beatitude. I've been planning for November for us to transition to a different section of our series that we have been in. In this upcoming section of the series, we are going to look at how the way of the Lamb is for everyone, of course, but that includes many who are at the margins of society, and how Jesus has shown up for those people, showing that his kingdom is for each and every one of us. But that means we're coming to the end of the Beatitudes, which also means, guess what? Even though there is one more Sunday before the election, that is the last time you will hear me say all three of those different welcoming spaces. Some of you are thrilled. Some of you are like, ah, that's been good. Either way, we are going into a new section next week, but today we are finishing the Beatitudes. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 if you have a paper Bible with you, or your app if you use an app. If you would rather just follow along on the screen, all of the scripture will be up on the screen today as well. As been our practice over the last few weeks, we are reading the entire Beatitude section starting in verse 1. All the way up through the end of verse 12 today, not just stopping at the Beatitude that we're studying. So we will get the entire Beatitudes today. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. A again noticing Jesus' invitation, his posture. And then the disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Sorry, that's Luke. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I should actually read instead of just saying it. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Verse 10, this is today. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's stop right there, and before we go any further, let's pray. Jesus, as you sat down to teach us these things, you not only taught us these things in just a linear cognitive fashion, you also showed us these things. You lived these things. You showed us what the good life, the blessed life, looks like. And so as we hear these teachings from you, may we also see you. May we also experience you as if we were sitting down listening to you speak. Please speak to each and every one of us today. Please speak to me in my heart today. Thank you, Jesus, that you are present with us when you spoke these things 2,000 some years ago and with us today. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. According to the dictionary of Google, persecution is hostility and ill treatment, especially on the basis of ethnicity, religion, or political beliefs. And I would suggest that no one actually wants to be treated with hostility and ill treatment. Yet, somehow, even here, Jesus connects being treated illy or ill treatment to living the good life, living this blessed life that he has been talking about. And today he gives us two blessed statements within one beatitude. Yes, it might seem like the second, starting in verse 11, is another beatitude, but it's just an extension of the beatitude found in verse 10. But in these blessed statements, Jesus is redefining, once again, we've been saying this the entire 8 weeks together. Jesus is redefining how we imagine the blessed life, how we imagine the good life, which makes sense that it has to be a redefinition, because you and I don't really want to be ill-treated. We don't want to be treated with hostility. And yet, Jesus is saying that if you are persecuted, if you are treated with hostility or ill treatment based on your religion, everyone on the road to the good life will face it. So, if you find yourself persecuted, ready for this? Rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I give that as kind of like a shocking moment that Jesus says this. But I want to just be incredibly gentle here for a moment. That some of you are that you are facing incredible backlash for pursuing righteousness. You're facing incredible backlash for pursuing justice. For pursuing the right thing. For pursuing what is right. And I just want to look you in the eyes and say to you that I admire you. I admire your pursuit for the right thing. I admire you, and I would just encourage you, hold on. Hold on. But don't just hold on either. Let Jesus hold on to you. He loves you. He is with you. And whatever backlash you might be facing for standing up for what's right, I just want to say that backlash will not last. It may seem like it will, and honestly, it might not really get much better this side of heaven, but hold on to Jesus and let him hold on to you. Jesus knows what you're going through. He literally knows what you are going through, not even just like empathizes with it. He sympathizes with you in this. He feels you in the backlash, in the pain. He feels your entire situation with you, and not only that, he's experienced it in himself. Our entire faith is based on Jesus being mistreated for doing the right thing, which is exactly the main point of this beatitude, being mistreated for doing the right thing. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, doing the right thing, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so some of you were legitimately facing ill treatment for doing the right thing. And because Jesus faced ill treatment for doing the right thing, his heart is close to your heart. And yet, because Jesus speaks so highly of those who are persecuted, and his heart is so close to those who are facing hostility or ill treatment for doing what's right, sometimes people start to feel a little left out if they don't experience persecution. And sometimes it feels like that leaves some Christians to claim persecution for just about anything. No, it is not persecution if you hit a red light and you were late to church today. That's not persecution, that's just bad planning on your part. Or maybe to make it slightly more real, actually, it's not persecution if your job is mad at you because you use too much company time to avoid work and just talk about Jesus. That's actually stealing from your company. Yes, you should be able to talk about Jesus at your work, but you also better do your job to the glory of God. To work as a witness to the creator of the universe that created all things. So don't just steal your company time. But you can talk about Jesus too. Yet some people use Jesus to just be lazy. No, it is not persecution if your roommate is mad at you because you stayed up till 2 a.m. listening to Maverick City music very loud. That's not persecution. That's just unkind. We often want to claim persecution because Jesus says that there is real honor in being mistreated for doing what is right. However, what I find is that people often want the honor of being persecuted without living the persecuted life. And in the Beatitudes, yes, Jesus says that the blessed life or the good life is for those who are persecuted. But to be clear, persecuted for what? It isn't persecution for persecution's sake. What are they persecuted for? But for righteousness, for doing the right thing, for standing up for justice. I like what Pastor Rich Viotis says. Notice that Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. He doesn't confer blessing on those persecuted for self-righteousness. Whew, that's a word. Or religious zeal or anything else. It's easy to label all hardship as a reward for righteousness, even when our trouble is merely the result of stubbornness and pride. True persecution comes when we are mistreated because of a steadfast commitment to righteousness or justice. That word is used interchangeably throughout all of Scripture. And so I just want to simplify all that and just say the hard truth. Some people are persecuted for being a jerk. Like, that's not the way of the Lamb. Jerks for Jesus is not the way of the Lamb. Can we just say that? You're going to remember that. I guarantee you. You're like, I'm going to remember the rest of the sermon. I don't care. That's all right. Because if you can remember that jerks for Jesus is not the way of the Lamb, then I think that's a good thing for us to remember. In fact, the whole of Jesus' teaching actually shows us the opposite. What does he say in his final meal with his closest followers? He says, "A new command I give to you that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And here it is, verse 35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Now, sometimes we can do theological gymnastics and we can say things like, oh, well, that's loving other Christians, one another's. The one another's are for the people within the church. So I can love other Christians and be a jerk to the people out there. Well, Jesus has further teaching on this too. Just a little bit further into his Sermon on the Mount than we are. So we're at the introduction to his sermon in the Beatitudes. Just a few verses further, listen to what Jesus says. "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And so I would just invite each of us to reflect. If you say you have experienced persecution or that you are currently being persecuted for something, I would just invite you to reflect and ask yourself, is my persecution because I'm acting like a jerk or is it in spite of acting in love? And this is the practice I've been trying to give us, different practices that we can legitimately take away from in like real time actions. This is the practice I'm going to ask us to do this week. It's to reflect on this question. First, looking at our own behaviors, our own actions, not just the responses of others. We always want to go to the responses of others. But maybe their responses are because of our responses, right? And so I would encourage us to reflect, is any resistance that I face because I'm acting like a jerk or in spite of me acting in love? Now, that's the general sermon And that is the direction that we are going. But I think we need to talk about this a little bit more in kind of a few different lenses. Because I'm asking us to reflect on our own behaviors, the very fact that I'm inviting us to reflect on this means that I'm actually presupposing something. So I want to just give my cards on the table and tell you what I am presupposing in this entire thing. Just because you are experiencing persecution does not mean you are doing the will of God. So what I'm saying is maybe you acting like a jerk is not doing the will of God. And sometimes we think if I'm being persecuted, that is because I am doing the will of God. But experiencing persecution does not mean that you are doing the will of God. The will of God is that we would live in love. Love of God and love of others is the very foundation of our commands that we are given in Scripture, that Jesus gives to us. He says all of it hangs on these two things, love of God and love of neighbor, love of others, which means, according to Jesus, this is what I want us to hear here, because sometimes as Christians, we tend to think that persecution means we're on the right track. According to Jesus, love is the marker of spiritual maturity, not persecution. Jesus does not say, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you are persecuted. Look at John 13 again, 35. These are his words, not mine. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is why I think we need to reflect. Because if we think we are being honored for being persecuted, we should say, where does that response come from? Does it come from how I'm mistreating others? Acting like a jerk? Or is it because I was acting in love? Now you would think, acting in love would just mean to, well, that means everyone's just getting along and everything's okay. You would think acting in love would lead to a beautiful, peaceful existence, but unfortunately, that's not the case. Jesus does warn us. He does tell us, even in love, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than its master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. So we've said experiencing persecution does not mean that you're doing the will of God. However, Jesus' teaching on this subject, saying that you will experience persecution, also shows us that the inverse is true. So we should see this. This needs to come to the forefront of our mind as well. Experiencing blessing does not mean that you are doing the will of God either, to be clear. Sometimes we have a tendency to think if the things that we are doing are working out, then that must mean that is the will of God. If we are blessed with ease, and it's a sign of God's favor. Brother, sister, sometimes things just don't work out. Sometimes we do face hardship, hostility, and ill treatment. Sometimes the world is just broken. And Jesus warns us of all of this. So just because you are experiencing blessing doesn't mean that you're doing the will of God either. And so it gets us in this weird tension And that's kind of the point that I need to just get to the forefront of our mind. The Christian life is a mixture of blessing and persecution. And I wish it could just be more clear one direction or the other, but it is a mixture of blessing and persecution. Living in the way of the Lamb will lead to some things in your life working out. Living in the way of the Lamb will also lead to some persecution. Living in the way of the Lamb will include pain and joy, sadness and happiness, making new friends and losing some friends. But to be clear, there are plenty of instances where Jesus and the early church did not face persecution. And there are instances where Jesus and the early church faced lots of persecution. We will face it. We will face blessing. We will face pain. We will face persecution. Just because all is going well doesn't mean you are in God's favor. Or just because of the opposite, you are facing opposition, doesn't mean that you are in God's favor. Again, the Christian life is a mixture of blessing and persecution. I wish this wasn't the case, to be honest. Like, this makes it a little bit more difficult. Because there's not just an easy outcome where we say, great, if this is the outcome, I must be on the right track. I wish we could say, yes, if you face hardship, you're on the right track. Or the opposite. I wish that if you face blessing and everything was working out for you, you were on the right track. I wish we could do one of those things and say, yes, this is how we can know. But that would be treating the Christian life like a formula. And the Christian life has never been designed to be a formula. If you do X, then you will get Y. The Christian life is meant to be a relationship. It's meant to be relational at its core, not formulaic at its core. But we have a tendency to want the formula, because then we can be a little bit more clear. But to be clear, we don't find the will of God through a formula of blessing or persecution. We understand the will of God through relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with others. And so how do we know if we're on the right track then? How do we know if we're doing the will of God? Well, again, it's relational. God invites us. Sit with Him. Seek His face. Talk with Him. Ask Him. Search the scriptures to get to know Him. Ask God, am I doing the right thing? Show me. Treat it like a relationship. But I'll tell you, even sometimes that's not enough. You'll sit with God. You'll ask, I seek you, I'm looking, God, what do you want from me? Who am I supposed to be? What do you want me to do? Yes, we can search the scripture, and yes, He is revealed in the scripture, but God doesn't just reveal Himself in the scripture or as in the flesh. God also reveals Himself in the flesh in a different way. The New Testament uses this language and uses this metaphor called the body of Christ. Which the body of Christ is what we see as the church. Just very clearly, so you believe this. Now, you are the body of Christ. So Paul says this to a local church. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It is a strange mystery, brothers and sisters. Yes, God is revealed in the flesh as Jesus in a body, as a human. and then goes and expands that body to you and to me. And the scripture tells us we are a part of his body. So yes, we sit with Jesus. We seek his face. But that actually means that we are beautifully revealed together as the church. We are revealing God to each other. So how do we know if we're on the right track? Well, we also sit with our brothers and sisters. We sit with those that are across from us, and we talk with them. We open ourselves up to them. This is what's going on. This is where I'm at. Can you speak into my life? Yes, we sit with God, but we also sit with others. We seek their perspectives. We ask for wisdom. We ask, am I doing the right thing? And so maybe, yes, I invite you this week to sit and reflect. Are you a jerk for Jesus? Sit with Jesus about that. But if you're really courageous, I would encourage you, maybe also sit with someone else about that. Open yourself up to someone else. Because we can't just say, oh, it's X as the if I'm persecuted, yes, that must mean I know I'm doing the will of God. Or if I'm blessed, then I'm doing the will of God. No, we need to sit with God and each other. And so I would encourage you to sit with God and each other about this question. Maybe we should make a practice of opening ourselves up to trusted friends, allowing them to speak into our life as well, not just opening up the scripture. And in all of this, the thing that I would encourage us with, whatever our responses are, whatever God is speaking to us, our friends are speaking to us, receive this with humility. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to settle for being persecuted for anything else other than the name of Jesus. And I think that's a settling, to settle for anything else. Never settle for being persecuted for anything else other than the righteous, cruciform love of Jesus. It's what Jesus says again in this meal that he shares with his closest followers at the end of his ministry. He's on the road to the cross where he will ultimately be persecuted for our behalf. He says, all of this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated me without reason. And so I would just encourage us, let's give no other reason for people to persecute us, to mistreat us, to malign us, other than pursuing the righteous, cruciform love of Jesus. Let's give them no other reasons for it other than that. And when I say the righteous, cruciform love of Jesus, what I mean is a love that stood up to power by giving up his power. What I mean is a love that stood up for the vulnerable. We're going to see that over the next 4 weeks in our series, all the way up till Advent. When I say the righteous cruciform love of Jesus, I say a love that moved into the neighborhood, as Eugene Peterson, and put on flesh, the love that dwelled among us. It's a love that told one of his closest friends, put away your sword. And if you are persecuted for those things, for the giving up your power to pursue and help and stand for the vulnerable, to move in the neighborhood, to put on flesh, to dwell among people, to do those things, to pursue and love others. If you are persecuted for that, then so be it. Rejoice and be glad because you are not alone. You are not alone. Jesus himself was persecuted for that. He was persecuted to the point of death, put to death by the religious mob. Why? Because they never could have imagined that God would be so loving that he would be willing to move in the neighborhood. They're like, no, you can't claim to be God. Why? Because God wouldn't do this, to move into the neighborhood, to touch the sick, to include the woman, to invite the child, to give to the beggar, to welcome the foreigner. They could not imagine a love that would go that far. To bring us in, all of us, any of us, and to give us his righteousness. They could not imagine that. And so Jesus was persecuted for doing the right thing, for standing up in cruciform love, so that we could be right, so that we could, by faith, be included with him, to come to him. And I'll just be honest, sometimes that's really hard for me to believe in 2024 for myself, Nate Benner. Jesus would really go all that for me? To give his own life for me? Which is why I am really glad we do communion every single week in Union Center. Because we get to remember that we are welcome at Jesus' table, and look how far he would go to make sure that we can be there, to give us his righteousness so we can come to his table. How far would he go but cruciform love that says, I will give my body for you. It's why we eat the bread every week. And we'll do that here in just a moment. And it's why we drink the juice or the wine. We get juice. But to remember that God shed his blood for us. And so when we come to the table, we are saying in faith, we are proclaiming, as the Apostle Paul says, the Lord's death until he comes. His death saying that you can be at his table. Look how far he'd go so that you can be there. He loved you so much. And so it's a reminder every single week. I want to get to that reminder. So let's pray so we can get to that reminder. Jesus, thank you that we are not alone. Thank you that you feel what we feel, that you've experienced this world, that you've experienced blessing, that you've experienced persecution, and that we are not alone. And thank you that you have invited us in so we don't have to live this alone. Thank you that we have each other, that in a few moments, those of us that can proclaim that you love us in this way, we have each other to come to this table to remind us that we are all here together because of you, Jesus, because of your cruciform love. And I just pray for those of us that struggle, wondering, God, really me? I pray that we would feel just how real you moved into the neighborhood with us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.